Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Lesbian Book Club, episode 42, with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month's interview is with Belgian lesfic author Supreme Harper Bliss, as we talk about our recent writing collaboration and how that was to do for both of us, and that's coming up shortly. I'll also end the podcast with the first chapter of my audiobook, Twice in a Lifetime. So if you haven't listened to that yet, you're in for a treat. It's a great narration of the book by TJ Richards. All of that to come, so it's a packed show, so let's get on. First, let's take a look, as we always do, at the Amazon UK and US lesfic charts. And number one and riding high in the charts in the US, UK, Canada and Australia on May 29th, 2018, as I record this, is Once Upon a Princess by Harper Bliss and me. So we're both really thrilled with how this book is doing. We released it last week. And we're thrilled that it's gone to number one and is getting out into the hands of many readers. We were very nervous about it being our first co-write, and we'll be chatting more about that later in the show. But for now, thanks to everyone who's bought it and read our lesbian royal romance. And if you haven't bought it, of course, drop everything, dash out now. Also doing well in the charts is Rachel Spangler with her new book, In Development. Now, this one is about actress Kobe Galloway, good name, Rachel, and pop star Lila Wilder, who take on a fomance with each other to aid their careers. Their aim, of course, is to keep it strictly business, but will the pull of pleasure win them over? Now, I haven't read any Rachel Spangler. I know I really should have, but I haven't. But I did meet her once and she was really lovely. So her books are bound to be fabulous as well. She's super popular, so there must be a reason for that. And I do like the sound of this one. I like the sound of it because two people coming together for a romance is, you know, a well-worn and well-loved trope in romance. But one of them wants to do it to make herself more edgy, to strike up with a woman to make herself more edgy. And I quite like that take on it. So it's going on my TBR pile, I think. Nicola Pyland's Just Tell Her is also galloping up the charts in the US and the UK, book two in the Chicago series. Now, this one is about Charlie, who's been in love with her best mate, Haley, forever, but she's forgotten to tell her. Silly Charlie. She gets a different girlfriend, and so does Haley, who's had a string of bad relationship choices. But obviously Charlie is secretly pining for her and Haley notices, and then they both start to secretly pine for each other. Will they eventually fess up and tell each other? I would bet my house that they do. If they don't, the book has not fulfilled its promise, has it? But this one sounds like a solid story, but it has a very strange cover, I will say. It looks like a pencil drawing of a floor plan of a house or something. Is one of them an estate agent? I don't know. But if you do know, let me know. Lots of secrets and I don't know what's going on there. H.L. Logan is still bothering the charts with her book Second Chance. This one does not suffer any cover identity issues at all, with two women snogging on the front of it. It's clearly shouting, we're a lesbian or bisexual book. I think this was in the charts last month, as one of the protagonists is called Claire. Bonus points being spelt the right way, same as me. And it's the tale of a high school reunion. A reunion, that word, I always find it hard to say. A former nerd, a former cheerleader, and how they wend their way back to each other. Frankly, if you don't love a high school reunion story, you've got a heart of steel. Who doesn't love one? Oh, I love them. So hooray for love, I say. And finally, Jade Winter's new book, Love's Knocking, is also flying off the digital shelves. This is the story of Nikki, who's a career gal, but her ambition is thwarted when her company starts to struggle and the company bring in Joe to restructure the hot mess. Now, Nikki should hate Joe, obviously, but do you hear that sound? That's the sound of love knocking, my friend. Yes, it is. Career gal, you know, that's what my mum used to say about me when she couldn't quite deal with the fact that I might be a lesbian. Well, in fact, I was a lesbian, I told her. But she used to say, well, Claire's got no time for love. She's all about her career. And people used to look at her strangely because, you know, I worked on a magazine. It wasn't like I was not climbing the corporate ladder. But there you go. That is the chart roundup for May 2018. So phew for that. And it's been a scorcher in London town of late, I tell you, with blazing sunshine, crazy thunderstorms too, and me running in and out of the house trying to get the washing off the line before it all gets wet again. Fun times. This morning is an example of that. I did two loads of washing. The weather was meant to be sunshine and it's chucking it down outside. So what can you do? I've got things hanging everywhere. It's like a Chinese laundry in here. Enough about my laundry. What's been going on in the world of lesfic, I hear you ask? Well, after last month's nominations overload, May's been quite quiet as we're gearing up to awards season in June and July. The Lambda Literary Awards take place in New York on June the 4th, and I think Alison Bechdel is going to be there, and she is the god of lesbian fiction. Well, you know, graphic novels, I suppose. So if you're around there and you can get a ticket, go along and see her. Diva Awards are taking place on June the 8th in London town. Lots of celebrities, I'm sure, will be there. And the awards for Best Author include Kiki Archer, Jade Winters and Veronica Fearon. So that's very exciting. And also the GCLS, the Golden Crown Literary Society Awards, are taking place in July. And this year they're in Las Vegas. So if you want to go and see lots of oversized statues of European statues in a desert, as well as being with loads of lesbians giving out gongs, get along there. And of course, if you're in the UK this year, ElleCon is taking place in Bristol on August 23rd and 24th. I'm going, along with a whole host of other authors, and it's going to be a jamboree of readings, panels, author chats and so much more. So head on over to elconmeet.org for more, or see the show notes for that web address. But it's ElleConMeet.org. So what have I been up to since the last time we spoke? Well, last week, quite a lot really is the answer. Last week we launched our joint book, Once Upon a Princess, and as I said in the charts, it's going very well, better than either one of us expected, because being the first time we've done anything like this, we just didn't know how it was going to go. So yeah, we're really pleased with that, and we will be discussing it after this. Plus, the launch of book four in my London romance series is getting ever closer. It feels like it's been dragging on for a while, this one, but because I finished writing the book, completely. It's ready to launch at the end of March, but I've been waiting for the audiobook to be recorded. So The London of Us is finally going to be out on June 27th. So keep an eye out for that. I'll be launching the ebook, print and audio all at once. And I will let you know when it's out on probably the next podcast. But I've given it out to a few early reviewers and bloggers, and I'm getting great feedback. So I'm really excited for everyone to read this one, because the London series is beloved of me. It's where it all started for me with London Calling. And it's been a real pleasure to get back together with these characters. And I am actually writing book five as well at the moment. So so there's another one in the works. But as well as writing book five, I've also been getting myself GDPR compliant. If you're in the UK, you'll know what I mean. Everybody's very concerned about that. You read their privacy policy. You can read mine if you want. But that took some time in May. And in May, I also went off to a caravan park near Hastings. And I went off with seven other gay romance writers. So I was only lesbian, but seven other gay romance writers. And we stayed in two static homes, caravans, and I wrote 15,000 words in 2 days, which is pretty darn incredible. I've never written over 6,000 words in a day, so it was great to know what can happen when you're taken out of the environment that you're normally in and all distractions are removed from you. There was no internet in the caravans, and all we could do was sit and write, and that's what I did for 2 days running, so it was great. And it was Eurovision weekend, so we had a right old Eurovision knees up with lots of wine and lovely. One of our writers was Portuguese, and the Eurovision was in Portugal, so we had homemade Portuguese tarts as well. It was a fun weekend, and fulfilled my dream of staying in a caravan because my wife refuses to go in one. So I had to go away with 4 other people to do it, or 7 other people. I can't count. Anyway, and we're also heading off soon as well. This week we're going to Toronto for my niece's wedding, and then we're going to Boston and Provincetown and Cape Cod and all that. So we're going to be away for nearly 3 weeks. So I'm really looking forward to it because I've done a lot of writing and a lot of work in the beginning of this year, so it'd be nice to have a break. So that's it for now. Here's my chat with Harper, followed by an excerpt from Twice in a Lifetime. Hope you enjoy. So joining me today on the Lesbian Book Club podcast is hotshot lesbian author Harper Bliss. And if you know lesbian fiction, she's a household name. People walk around their households all day muttering Harper, Harper all day, don't they? Don't they, Harper?
Not in mine, but I hope so.
Harper's written a gazillion books, approximately, and is currently most well known for her Pink Bean series, which is up to book 8, with a book 9 in the offing, I think. However, the reason she's here with me today on the podcast is to talk about our latest book, Once Upon a Princess, a lesbian royal romance that we co-wrote together. Harper's been on the podcast before to talk about her books and her process, so today we're just going to concentrate on how it was doing our collaborative book and the lovely experience. So welcome, Harper.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
I know, right? Third time round. You know, you're clearly a favourite, so what can I say?
Well, I did some things to make that happen.
That sounds a bit rude. So how are you today anyway?
Yes, I'm very well, yeah. It's a good day today. Our book is doing very well.
Our book is doing very well, yes. So for those people out there who don't know about it, this one is called Once Upon a Princess, and it's a royal romance, some coming right off the back of Harry and Meghan's real life royal romance, and
such excellent time.
I know.
How did that happen? I don't know.
It's like we knew it was going to take place, and we timed it all around it. But yes, obviously it's a lesbian princess who's left the army, being forced into a royal wedding that she doesn't want, and she heads off to Cornwall incognito, and she runs into Rosie Perkins, who runs a local cafe, and sparks fly. But there's so many obstacles in their way. Will they have a happy ending? Well, you know, but as we say, the book is doing really well. We released it last week. But let's turn the clock back a little bit, and you know, back to, I don't know how long ago it was, probably about a year ago, wasn't it?
I think it was probably a year, yeah.
Yeah, you approached me and sent me an email and said, had I ever thought about co-writing a book? So why did you do that in the first place?
That's a good question. Why did I? Oh, this is where I shower you with flattery.
That's right, yeah. I've set you up.
That's a good first question. Well, last year, well, still now, but co-writing was all the rage, right? So I said, well, I maybe want to get in on this. So I needed to find someone to do it with me. And, well, I think you were really one of the only candidates for me because, well, we had a few dealings. Like, I'd been on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know, we kind of got along. Plus, I think I was also looking for someone who'd been, you know, doing this whole indie pub thing for a while, mm-hmm. for as long as me, going through the same experiences and with a, you know, the kind of the same level of success mm-hmm. and mailing list than me.
Yeah.
So there you were. So it was a pretty easy choice for me.
Yeah. And
I would not have known who else to ask, really.
Yeah. Well, good job I was there then. And
and you said yes.
Yeah, I did. Although I did have my reservations as well. You know, when I got that email, my first thought was no, go away. But because you know,
and that would have been my first response as well. Yeah. So I understand. I'm not offended by that.
And my first reaction was to say no, but then I thought about it and I thought that it would actually push me out of my comfort zone. And when you do that, normally good things happen. So I decided to say yes. And then I worried about it for the next 6 months, which I'm sure you did as well, probably. but I think what you said there about being in the same space, being in the same sort of having about the same way along the journey of indie publishing, which we are roughly. And yeah. I think I forgot this, actually. I have done a collaborative project before and it ended terribly. It wasn't a book, it was a screenplay, and I co-wrote it with a friend of mine. We're still friends. but I think the key thing it didn't work was because I think what you need is people in the same situation and with the same goals and motivations. We were very motivated to get this done and get it finished on time. And we both do this now as a full-time job. Everything was set up for it to go well, whereas I think the collaboration I did with my friend ages ago, we weren't in the same place mentally, and you know, we came up with a great idea and we wrote a couple of episodes of the screenplay, but it never got anywhere. So I think that is very key.
Yes, definitely, because you know, there aren't that many Leslie authors who do this, you know, as their full-time job, so pickings are actually a little bit slim. It might be different another year later now, but I mean, not that I chose you because pickings are slim.
Clearly, Claire, you were the only person that was available, so I went with it. But I'm pleased that you had, actually, because it took courage to send that first email. So I'm pleased that you did. But tell me a bit about the. As I said, I worried about it in the lead up, and I know that you did as well because we've talked about it. So how are you feeling when we eventually sort of got to the stage where we were going to sign a contract, because we did sign a contract, we did it all as you should do it when there's business and money involved.
Definitely sign a contract.
So we signed, we signed a contract. And how did you think it would go then?
Oh my God, so many emotions. I was so nervous. I think the day before I wanted to call the whole thing off. Because you know, when it's something new like that, I don't know, I get so afraid. I was freaking out. And as you said, it's like totally out of our comfort zone. You start doubting everything. That's just like, you know, the typical nerves before you do something new. But then we started and everything was fine. You know, it went so well, but it is very, very nerve-wracking to share a first draft with someone. I mean, who you're not married to, I always say. But in the end, I was so glad that you said yes, because it was a great experience. But, you know, there were some emotional hurdles to get over for sure, because it was not always easier, but it was definitely a good thing that we did, I think, for both of us to, you know, step out of our comfort zone.
Definitely. Definitely. I think it stretched us both. I don't know if it stretched us both as professionally as much as emotionally.
Emotionally.
Because like you say, writing is a very solitary job, and you know, and the story you and I both normally come up with our own stories and go with those, and whatever we want to do, we can do. But you can't do that when you're writing with someone else. You have to, I think, do an outline and then stick to it. And inevitably, I think that what comes out of it, like, it won't be exactly what I normally write, and it won't be exactly what you normally write. It's actually a whole new way of writing.
It is.
And that's not a bad thing. So
obviously. Yeah. People like what we've done.
So. They do, which is great.
Something we were not always sure of.
We weren't.
That's normal, right? Such a big part of writing is that. And then when you're doing it with someone else, you know, it's extra stressful, but also it's better because, you know, you have each other. You're not doing it alone, so.
Yeah.
Send each other encouraging messages, which was a great thing.
Which we did all the way along, and we chatted every day, and we sort of said, hey, I loved your chapter, which is a really small thing, but actually it's a big thing for a writer, because like you say, it's a very solitary job, so it's nice to get feedback, and it's nice to just have contact with another writer.
It is very nice, actually. I miss it now.
I know. It was like when we came to the end of this particular, like, I think it took us like 4 weeks or something to write it, didn't it? And we've been chatting every day, and then when we came to the end, I think we both felt a little bit sad.
There's a black hole.
Yeah.
No one at well. Not that you would not email me back if I emailed, it's not the same. It was done.
So, but another thing about writing, so how we did it was I wrote a story outline and then we did alternate chapters. And so we wrote every day and I wrote a chapter and then you wrote a chapter. So every time we came back to the manuscript, we had a chapter to read. So it was like we were reading the story as it unfolded as well as writing it, which was an unexpected bonus, I thought, because it was like exciting to know what was going to happen. So how did that whole process work for you?
Oh, yeah, I loved that part of it too. First of all, double word count while you're sleeping. That's amazing. So, and for me, because my writing routine is pretty set, right? I wake up, then I read what I wrote the day before, and then I start writing. But now I was reading your chapter, and that was really great, because actually my habit is also I try to read a little bit before I write. I don't know, it gets me in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to read your chapter. And I think also your writing style then kind of influenced me a little bit when I had to start, and it set me up so well to start my own chapter. I really loved the process of just, you know, waking up and seeing what happened. Well, I mean, I knew approximately what was going to happen.
Yeah. But, you know,
I really loved it. And I also think that, you know, the way we wrote it, even though we wrote separate chapters, like each our own character, I think it really helped to blend our styles a little bit, because I know this, you know, when I'm reading a certain book, I will adopt the style a little bit. So I think that really helped with our co-written book.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, reading the chapter that you've written obviously then influenced the little things that might happen in that chapter. There was a lot of jokes about avocados, smashed avocados. I hadn't really thought about that. Did your style influence mine? It probably did. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure I was that aware of it, but it probably did. And as you were going along with it all, did you have any wobbles as you were going along with the process?
Of course. I don't think anyone can write a book or co-write a book without having some wobbles. I mean, writing a book, you know, I mean, I've written a few, but it's never easy. Yeah? So
you've written a gazillion.
Well, 20 plus. But inevitably you're going to have a day off. And, you know, well, my first point of contact is always my wife, so she absorbed a lot of that. But as we said before, we had each other, so if we had a bad day, we just shared it, you know, and you share the process and the journey, and, you know, some days are good, some days are bad, but, you know, it was definitely a shared experience, and it was so good to, you know, because I really remember you gave me, like, pep talks, and then, you know, when you were a bit down, I said, okay, time for a pep talk. So it really works out well in that way as well.
Yeah.
So that was really great, actually. Much better than when you're writing on your own, because when you have a wobble, then who do you turn to?
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we were doing this, as we were going along, I think we said we should set up a therapy, or, you know, like a wobble group for writers.
Had this chat going on for a while, so see how they're doing.
But I think go on, sorry.
No, go.
No, I was just going to say, I think actually though, even though you had wobbles, and even though, you know, I had some doubt, like I think there were a couple of scenes where I just said, oh well, I've written this, but it's rubbish. Even though we did that, though, we still showed up every single day and did it.
Yes.
And I think that is, it's kind of like the key of how to write, isn't it? Just show up and do it, whatever you think of it. Because inevitably, when you read it back, it's not that bad.
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, if you're co-writing, you know that the other person is waiting for your chapter, right? So you don't want to let them down. And I think that played a huge part in what we did. We had so much momentum, and you don't want to stop. So it was really great.
Mm.
In that respect.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd say it exceeded my expectations for a first time collaboration project, and clearly the screenplay I wrote with my friend was was so painful that I'd buried it because I'd even forgotten I'd done it. I was convinced this was.
Tell me about this.
Well, no, but this was the first time I thought I had collaborated. I'd buried it, and then it just sort of occurred to me the other day that I had done it before, and it didn't really work. So, but I think, like you say, it was just a very different stage, and we're both in the same place, and that really, really does make a difference. And also, it's a case of, you know, 1 + 1, as you said before, equals more than 2, which is very true.
Yeah, I think you may have spoiled me for future collaborations because it went so well. How can it ever go so well again? I think our personalities matched as well. Plus, we're both professionals, right? We take this very seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we don't just sit down and write 500 words then, 500 words then. I mean, this is our business. So we take this very seriously. Plus, I think I said before, you're British and I'm Flemish, so neither of us likes confrontation, so...
No,
we keep it very decent.
Yes, no, there was never going to be any fighting. We were just going to be really polite to each other the whole way through.
Yeah, because you said that you told me beforehand that you're a bit of a control freak, but I didn't get that feeling at all while we were writing. You were very laid back.
Yeah, I agree. I was, which surprised me. But I think I went into it wanting it to work, and I wanted to give it as much chance as possible to work. And so I had a word with myself and said, it's not your normal project, and you have to just have to be laid back about it. And I obeyed myself. So, I'm sure you probably did the same thing as well.
Well, you know, I mean, I think I know I had some drama at home, but I never showed it to you.
No.
So I would never show it to you because, you know, there's not a lot of purpose to that. Because I wanted us to continue, so I just, you know, maybe rained at my wife a little bit, but
yeah.
She's used to that. That's just normal goings on in our house. So.
As you see, my wife said that I wasn't as... it wasn't as bad as she'd feared, so that's good, isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder what she feared.
And were you worried that you said that you thought that your writing was influenced by my style of writing as well? Were you worried that you'd lose your voice in this book at all? Or?
Well, maybe a little bit. I'm not very sensitive about my voice and all that, but you did all the plotting, so that was, you know, if you think of the story, you're going to write it a little bit differently. Also, I'm definitely not a plotter, so all of that played a bit of a part, but I wasn't really too worried. But it is funny, because you said earlier, we both thought that after we finished the book and we read it again, that it was so different from what we usually wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the end, it's not that different. I think it blended really well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do think our styles are usually quite distinct, but I think they did come together quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that one thing that surprised me was that it did read very well. And I don't think that you would necessarily be able to tell. In fact, I had one reader contact me recently and said, I read the acknowledgements and I see you wrote alternate chapters. So who wrote the first chapter? And I said, who do you think wrote the first chapter? and they had a guess and they guessed wrong. So
really?
It just goes to show that
that
our voices did blend as one. And that's a good thing. And I think probably we were... there was some sort of element of adapting them slightly, but like you say, it's still us two both writing it. So I think it was just more of a it's kind of a sweet tale as well. So maybe that was slightly different from my normal thing.
My books are usually much more dramatic.
Yeah,
emotional. Drama. And my characters are usually quite a bit older. I think for me that was the biggest injustice. Oh, this character is so young.
Right. Yeah, so, she was in her 20s.
I know.
Yeah. So what was the hardest thing, do you think, about doing this collaborative process?
Well, I think definitely in the beginning, like, you have to send this chapter to the other writer every day. That was pretty hard because, you know, Yeah, what's she going to think? You know, the usual doubts. But as I've said many times, doubt is part of writing. But if you can't deal with the doubt, then you probably can't be a good writer. But if you have to do this every day, if you have to send your chapter to the other person every day, it does get better. And in the end, it did make me believe in myself more, because you can't just constantly be doubting yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing something like this, so it was pretty hard, but then it had a happy ending.
It's like the book.
Yes. Always a happy ending. You cannot mess with a happy ending in
romance. Yeah, I agree. I think that the first few chapters that send were hard, but I think like by the fourth or fifth we were both quite into it. And I actually think that I actually said to you that I think I should just send you my chapters as I go for the next book anyway, just so that you're waiting for them and then I can get it done and stop procrastinating, because I don't procrastinate.
Yeah, that's fine. Send them to me so I can read them in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe we can set something up if you plot my next book.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing, you see, I plotted that one and it went really well, and I thought, oh, I should do more plotting, and now I'm just not doing any more plotting. So there you go. I'm trying to learn from something that went so well, but I've got the resistance as well. And the best thing, what would you say the best thing was?
Well, definitely seeing the words add up, you know, like the momentum that we had that spurred us on. Mm-hmm. Plus also because you plotted the book, mm-hmm. and we had an outline, and I never thought I could stick to it, but I really stuck to the outline that you did. So that was like, ooh, you know, I can write to an outline, who knew? Mm. So that was a good thing for me to find out. Plus also the sharing of everything. Like the shared process of writing this book, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. So, and I agree with an outline. I've never stuck to an outline like this in my life. So, I did say to you at the beginning, we probably will, you know, detour from this, but we didn't. So, so that was pretty good.
It was a really good outline. Because everything was there, all the things that needed to happen, that we didn't have to come up with anything anymore.
Yeah.
So that was a really good outline.
Yeah, good. And what's your biggest takeaway from this?
I think this is easy enough to say, right? But as we're talking about outline and plotting, I mean, I would really like to, you know, do it myself. And then now that I know that I can stick to it, like actually do a decent outline before I start. But it hasn't worked so far. And plus, I think I would also get a bit more involved, like with character work in the beginning, because, you know, I'm such a pantser. Mm-hmm. And I just usually just make things up as I go along. But I think for a project like this, I would probably try to do a bit more thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. So,
And, sorry, go on.
It's easier said than done.
It is, as I'm finding out.
It's so hard.
I don't know.
It's really so hard.
That outline for that book, it was very easy to do, like comparatively of what I've done before. So, I'm not quite sure why, but. Would you do it again?
Yes. In fact, I'm doing it right now.
You are doing it right now.
Well, right now I'm Skyping, but my wife and I were in the last week, it should be our last week, of first drafting our first co-written book. It's a golf romance and also a sweet romance.
Wow. So you're in your final week. So how long has that taken you to do? Because that seems to have gone quite quick.
Well, no. It's been definitely much longer than ours. Because we took last week off, so I think we are probably in week five or six even. So it's a much slower process, but it's normal because, you know, Caroline, this is her first book.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, yes.
I can't expect the same thing from her as I did from you. So, we'll see how it goes. It's a very different process, but,
Do you think you've taken some things that you learnt from us working together into this one?
Well, we were going to do like a detailed outline beforehand, because she told me up front, she said, I can't do it you know, I can't pants like you. I need an outline. And I said, yeah, we'll do one. But then it never happened. So now we're just like pantsing our way through this book. And that's a very different experience as well, because it's much more stressful, especially for her, because she's not used to it.
Yeah.
So this is like a perfect example of that, you know. I mean, I thought I'd learned my lesson, but I haven't. It's going to take a few more tries.
Yeah, it's funny how we both said, this was the perfect process. Let's just forget all that.
I know. It's, yeah. I mean, I've read so many books on plotting and outlining and I don't know. I think some people are just not good at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Stephen King never plots anything, does he? And he's done all right.
Yeah. Now we need to write a sequel to this book, of course.
Of course we do. Yes. Yes. And so many readers are asking for it, and I don't think we planned it, but hey, never say never. We're open.
We can make it a series or something.
We can, yeah.
Maybe one of the other characters.
Well, you know, I mean, Jemima and Amy need their stories told, right? So
yeah. I would write with you again immediately. So, well, I'm giving you a little break, but I would definitely do it again with you.
I would do it again with you as well. So there you go. There you go. There's a commitment live on the podcast. And has it changed the way you'll write in the future? Do you think you'll be writing more, not just with me, not just with Caroline, but do you think you'll be approaching other people as well?
Yeah, I think I might do that because, well, obviously the experience with you was very good. There are no guarantees it will go as well with anyone else, but I've talked about it with two other lesbian authors, but I won't say who because, you know, it might never happen. You know how these things go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm up for it. But first I need to write a couple of books of my own.
Yes.
You know, I need to come down from this a little bit. And now I'm writing one with Caroline, so after that I need to take a little break. But I think I might do it again just because, you know, you can get a book out so quickly.
Yeah.
And that is just, you know, it's just a really great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is. I agree.
How about you?
Yeah, I'd say I would definitely do it again with you. I've spoken about it again, same as you, with a couple of other people, but nothing concrete. So, but I think again, it's like as you said, and as we said in the beginning, that you have to be in the same place, and I think that I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I think there's no doubt I will do it again. But when that'll be, I'm not sure. But, yeah. But I need to get my next book out before any of that and get the one I'm writing done. So.
Yes. But, That's how it always is. That's why you need to ask the person a year in advance.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah.
This is like actual plotting.
Yeah. Stay on the line after the call. All right. And what about audio? Because this is a podcast, obviously, and I know a lot of the listeners listen to books on audio. Are we planning to bring this out as an audio book as well?
We want to, but we're working on it. So hopefully more details soon. But I mean, I think it will be out in audio, but I cannot say when or. Yeah, that's still a work in progress.
Okay. You're in charge.
But it's definitely the plan. Yes.
Yes, you're in charge of that bit. So
yeah, I'll make it happen.
Okay, make it happen. Yes. Now, and just talking about your books and joint or otherwise, you've got a great podcast called Harper Bliss and Her Misses. So if listeners of this one don't listen to that one, they should dash over to wherever they listen to their podcast and favourite it. Tell listeners what it's about.
Yeah, it's my missus, my wife Caroline and I, so we talk about our week and we talk about television a lot because we watch a lot of television. We talk about our cat a lot because we're lesbians. And we also try to have a weekly topic, which I go on about in a long-winded fashion while my wife makes fun of me, so that's basically it. they seem to be getting longer every week, so I think we need to start curbing our long-windedness.
No, I don't think you need to. It makes me laugh every week, so in a good way, so that's good. And I heard you say on your podcast that you're going to put out a book a month this year. I've heard you say that before.
I always say stuff like that, right? But well, this book that we've just put out, that was my fourth release in 4 months, and it it's a little bit exhausting, not just the writing, but like the cycle of release, you know, you just come down from a release and then you have to start thinking about the next one. And it's very, it takes a lot of energy to launch, mm-hmm. I find. So it's a little bit exhausting, but I think, yeah, I'm still on track. So, I mean, they won't all be novels. Like in June, it will only be a novella. Mm-hmm. Because it's just not possible to have a novel every month. That is just, I have realized that this is impossible. But it doesn't mean I can't have a release every month.
Right.
So like I'll do a collection of all my short stories, that kind of thing, to have a bit of a break.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and co-writing obviously helps.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because
it goes much faster.
Yeah, because we started the co-write on March the 13th and we published it on May the 24th. So that's pretty quick. Yeah. That's pretty quick from start to finish. And that's, you know, with it going through editing and early readers and second, third drafts, everything. So, yeah.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it was.
How fast it went. Well, we did have some help, though. Because Cheyenne, I think she really came through for us to do the edit in like a very short time span. But,
she did. Thank you, Cheyenne. And your lovely wife, Caroline, came up with a great cover and title and tagline. So, yes, well done her.
It's always a collaboration, of course.
It is, you see. That's the thing. People think that doing books, you're always collaborating. You're just collaborating with different people. But writing it with someone else is a different thing altogether. Yes. So if anyone out there is thinking of collaborating, what's the one thing you'd say that they need to be sure of before they start out?
Well, I think that you need to be able to trust your co-writer. And this is hard because, you know, if you don't really know someone beforehand, but we met a couple of times, I think it helps if you, you know, met and like each other and seen each other drunk. It creates a bond.
Seeing each other drunk is the key thing for a collaboration.
Yeah, I think it really does help. So, and there needs to be some sort of trust because, you know, you'll be second guessing yourself enough, and you need to be able to trust the other person. Otherwise, it's just going to drive you crazy. And yeah, I trusted you, so you know, I think it also, you know, comes from knowing that you're also a professional, and you know, it all comes down to what we've been saying, you know, someone who's at the same level as you,
or
approx. So
yeah,
I think that, and have a contract.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, all those things. Do it in a professional manner. Well, thank you very much, Harper. This has been fabulous, and good luck with your upcoming co-write and all the future ones as well. And if you haven't bought Once Upon a Princess, of course, dash out and buy it. Or wait for it on audio, hopefully. All right, then. I will speak to you again soon. Well, I don't think I'm going to have you back on the podcast for a while, but you never know.
Maybe next year when the sequel is out.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Chapter 1. Sally McCall had a fear of water, and that was mainly her Aunt Paula's fault. Scratch that. It was solely her fault. Sally was a scant 5 years old when her aunt, then 20, picked her up and threw her into the hotel swimming pool. Unfortunately, before checking if the young Sally could swim. She still remembered the shiny blue tiles of the swimming pool wall as she was rudely plunged underwater, the muffled shouts from above, along with the fizzing panic as her tiny limbs worked overtime to save her. When Sally's dad, Rick, dragged her to the surface, his strong arms clamped firmly around her waist, and Sally flapping like a sardine, she recalled her mom gesticulating wildly at Paula, her pistachio-green swimsuit clinging to her slender frame. After coughing up her excess water, Sally sat wrapped in a soft towel on her mom's lap, the sky bright blue as if it were illuminated, the thud of her mom's heartbeat in her ear. Sally's mom had smelled like cigarettes and sunshine. One of the other memorable times Sally met her aunt was 10 years later, when Sally was sitting with her dad's family in a fancy restaurant to celebrate his birthday. At the awkward age of 15, Sally was shy and dealing with her only third ever period. still not believing this was due to happen to her every month for the next 40 years. Surely some cruel mistake. That day, Aunt Paula had barreled in late and given her a crushing hug before asking, in a voice that could have carried right across Lake Michigan, whether or not she'd had sex yet. Sally died on the spot. So now, sitting opposite her dad in her favorite New York City steakhouse nearly 20 years later, Sally was understandably hesitant about his news. All around her, servers rushed by, balancing eye-level silver trays stacked with New York strip loin and skirt steaks. The air seared with the smell of roasted meat and silky gravy. "She wants to meet me for lunch, the woman who tried to drown me before my life had even begun." Sally was still scared of water to this day, which had affected her life and her relationships too. The Hawaiian vacation with Casey, Mexico with her best friend Taylor, even the lake house all those years ago with Harriet. She blew out a long breath, tasting Harriet's sunscreen on her lips, before shaking her head, bringing herself back to the moment. With Harriet, the memories were so vivid, the feelings called up as if on speed dial. "You know Paula, she's excitable," her dad replied, swishing his red wine around his tall glass. He took a sip and nodded his head in approval. "She's an excitable menace. Try being her brother. You got off easy." Sally smiled at that. Her dad was laid back to the point of being horizontal, and she couldn't imagine what he'd gone through having a sister like her. Even though he was 12 years older, Paula had been born a crazy whirlwind, kicking up a storm that had never died down. "Why does she want to see me? She's been living abroad for so long now." As soon as Paula was old enough, she'd flown her home to work on cruise ships, returning on a very irregular basis. Sally had heard muttered tales of her investing in property, but nothing more. "From what she's told me, she's got a business proposition for you, so it might be worth taking this meeting, honey. It sounds like she's got money burning a hole in her pocket. She's coming back to the U.S. for good and wants to settle in Chicago and get to know her family. That includes you, her beloved niece." Beloved niece? Sally was pretty sure she'd never been that to Paula, because Paula had never really stuck around long enough to get to know her. Where her friends had aunts that were present, Paula had always been a mystery to Sally. "That sounds ominous. Plus, I live in New York, in case you hadn't noticed." As if emphasizing the point, a yellow cab slammed on its brakes to the right of the leather booth they were seated at, the driver honking his horn and gesturing out the window. "You didn't get that in Chicago." Her dad smiled, rubbing his hand over his gray stubble. They both shared the same strawberry blonde hair, the subject of much teasing when she was in school, but now a color she'd embraced. Her dad's hairline was receding, but he still had a good covering approaching his 61st year. "I'm not sure anybody's ever told Paula no, but you could give it a try." He gave her a grin. "I'm picking her up from O'Hare when she flies in next month. I did offer to come along to break your fall, but she was insistent. She wants to get to know you without me being there, so I have to respect that." Their steaks arrived, garnished with béarnaise and fries, their waiter topping up their wine before leaving them to it with a smile. Sally's stomach growled as she picked up her knife and made the first incision. It was perfectly pink, just the way she liked it. "You think she's going to try and drown me again?" Sally asked. "Make a reservation somewhere pool-free. That cuts your odds," her dad replied. "What have you got to lose? She's offering to help you out, and you've always turned down offers of help from me and your mom. But if Paula gives you some money, look at it as payback for all that childhood trauma she put you through." He paused. "Speaking of which, maybe she should reimburse me for all the trauma she put me through." Sally laughed, chewing her steak before replying. "I'll get her to write two checks." She put down her knife and fork. Next month? That's what she said. Can I give her your email address? Then it's in your hands. I'll leave you both to sort it all out. Just don't shoot the messenger, okay? Her dad licked his lips, catching some stray meat juice. I'll try not to, Sally said. You know, Mom's going to go crazy, though, right? Only if you tell her, her dad replied. Sally chuckled, thinking of all the times her mom had berated her dad. He hated confrontation, so he'd always back down. Of course, it wasn't an issue anymore now they were divorced. So I'll tell Paula it's a yes? Sally nodded, resisting her need to be independent. Maybe her dad was right. Paula owed her, and God knows she could use the money. This steak was the first decent meal she'd had all week, and she was enjoying it twice as much, knowing she wasn't paying. Tell her it's a yes. Just name the time and place, and preferably in New York. Some of us have work to do.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club, so this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to dig into any of my other books, the London Romance series, the All I Want series, Once Upon a Princess, Nothing to Lose, Twice in a Lifetime, or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, Bella Books, Barnes & Noble, or any of the other digital outlets. I'm also on Twitter at Claire Lydon, on Facebook, claire.lydon, and Instagram at clairefic. Plus, if you like a free lesbian romance, sign up to my VIP Readers Club and I'll send you one for free. Just go to www.clairelydon.co.uk and put your name in the box at the top. Join me next time for more hot book club action, where I'll be interviewing UK author A.E. Radley. See you then.